Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the full year report 2018-2019 conference call. I am Alessandro, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Thomas Avendik, CEO of Creologix. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Alessandro. Good morning, everyone, to this presentation of the annual results of the Creologix Group for the financial year 2018-2019. I will give you an overview of the principal outlook of Creologix. Philipp Wirth will then go into details of the facts and figures. Then Richard Bratva will cover our growth strategy, and I will conclude this session this morning with the further outlook. Creologix is working on the fundamental transformation of its business model. This transformation can be divided into three phases. The first two phases of this challenging transformation have already been completed. Within the past few years, we have evolved from a Swiss to a European market leader. During this time, we doubled our revenue, and the expansion strategy paid off. We increased also the international share of product revenues to 2/3. This year, we have launched the third phase of our transformation to become the first Swiss public SaaS company. The timing is ideal. The market environment is favorable. We continue to align our products and use the latest technologies. Richard will explain later what the transformation program looks like. We are going on this journey with determination. It's the only way to achieve our objective of becoming the world's leading provider of digital banking software within 3 years. Creologix is very well on its way. The transformation efforts are already reflected in the annual results. For the first time in the company's history, we have exceeded the 100 million Swiss franc revenue mark. The SaaS share doubled compared to the previous year. The recurring revenue share increased to 42%. Due to the planned change in the licensing model, which Richard will discuss later, we accepted a temporary slowdown in profitability. EBITDA in the financial year was 1.9 million Swiss francs. The changeover of the business model is demanding, but it is also decisive for further strengthening Creologix viability in the long term. All circumstances are in favor of us implementing this transformation of the business model. Today, bank customers demand a better digital banking experience. Our survey results reveal that 2/3 of bank customers in the DACH region would even switch banks for such an experience. But not only our market studies confirm this. Deloitte's banking maturity study comes to a similar conclusion. Banks with an outstanding digital user experience reduce complexity and concentrate on only a few relevant functions. That's what customers want, and that's what Creologix offers. With our innovations, we cover key topics that contribute to an outstanding user experience. This includes the ability for customers to personalize the interface, or that they are obtain relevant insights with, for example, spending analysis and simulations. But that's not all. With our products, we also deliver emotions. Award-winning ones, namely Best of Show at Finovit Europe. At these innovations trade show, we captivated the specialist audience for the third time in a row with our comprehensive customer-oriented functionalities presented in unique user experiences. Our solutions bring banks closer to their customers, and they just do not look good. This customer focus gives them a competitive edge. Our centerpiece, the Digital Banking Hub, enables this closeness. With this open banking system, financial institutions increase the added value of their services. We are also aware that financial institutions are changing their approach to software purchasing and digital platforms. With our transformation program, we are meeting these requirements. With the modern software as a service rental model, we will offering them even greater flexibility and development opportunities for the future. Globally, renowned analysts continuously confirm Cralogic's innovative strength and positioning as a fintech and one of the leading providers of digital banking software. In short, we create digital leaders. With our expertise and our products, we are already making digital champions out of more than 550 customers. They use our Digital Banking Hub and a variety of pre-configured features to quickly, prudently, and cost-effectively align their business to current and future customer needs. I would like to present to you some examples of our customers' implementations. VZ Depotbank relies on the Cralogic mobile application platform to ensure that its banking services more closely mirror the digital environment of its customers. Thanks to the secure and flexible expandable mobile bankings, customers of VZ Depotbank can now execute all of their desired transactions and access all financial information and services via a single app. Mark Weber, CEO of the VZ Depotbank, sees the main advantage and the great benefit for the customer. They can access all features more easily and conveniently. For the challenger bank MiDirect in Malta, Belgium, it is important to create outstanding customer experience in order to simplify access to their investment products. This was accomplished with Cralogic Invest. The digital asset management platform makes the savings products transparent for investors and easy to use online. In the first 40 days from launch of its digital offer, MiDirect saw over 30,000 new investors signing up in all markets. LGT Vestra, too, would like to offer its clients a new digital experience. CEO Ben Snee even says that customers should be able to enjoy the interaction. The asset management company is realizing this with an app from us. In the future, it will allow clients to access their account and portfolio data in a straightforward manner. Through Cralogic's customer portal, the company is simultaneously increasing the engagement, trust, and loyalty of private customers. With this software package, we are supporting LGT Vestra's unique strengths and sustained development. Likewise, we want to sustainably change market, product and technology offer the ideal conditions for us to take this decisive step now. As Philip will now outline, our annual results mirror that it is already taking hold. Philip, please.
Thank you, Thomas. Hello, everybody. Let me walk you through some of our key performance measures for the year 2018-2019. Sales were 101.9 million Swiss francs for the year 18-19. That's an increase of 16.9% in Swiss francs and 17.5% in local currency. We were able to achieve this strong growth despite the continued shift, significant shift towards SaaS licensing models, which temporarily reduced our sales and EBITDA by approximately 7 million Swiss franc in the year. Despite this shift, we were able to grow on average 19% per year in local currency over the last 4 years. On the next slide, we outline sales growth by category. In the year, recurring revenue, which is SaaS hosting and maintenance, grew 31% and now accounts for 42% of our total sales. I would like to highlight sales from SaaS and hosting, which increased by 8.8 million Swiss franc or 150% compared to the prior year and is now 14.5% of our revenue, up from 6.8% in the prior year. A big portion of this increase is due to the acquisition of LXCBS&S, but it also the result of our ongoing switch from the traditional licensing model to SaaS or subscription. Now let's move on to EBITDA, which amounted to 1.9 million Swiss franc. This is a decrease of 5.1 million Swiss francs over the prior year amount of 7 million Swiss francs. The EBITDA margin was 1.8%, a 630 basis point decline from the prior year. As a reminder, we expense all R&D costs immediately and invest approximately 20% of sales into the development of new products. Nevertheless, this result is below our expectation and it is mainly due to two reasons. One, a very weak UK. The pipeline that we were looking at in January, February 2019 did not materialize. Second, we experienced a delay in signing big contracts with two tier one banks in Europe and one tier one bank in Asia into the new year. On one, quickly, we have adjusted our cost structure in the UK and have experienced an okay start into the new financial year in the first 2 months. This is according to our plans. However, the uncertainty around the Brexit continues. Regarding the delayed contract signings, you have probably read by now the announcement that we won the first Italian bank, Raiffeisen Verband Südtirol. Also, we are in the final stages of signing our first Tier 1 bank in Asia. So, while we experienced a delay in revenue in the last financial year, we start the new financial year with a good momentum. A couple of final comments on the P&L. Financial expense net was 0.6 million Swiss franc, an increase compared to prior year, mainly due to currency exchange losses. A quick word on our tax rate. As a reminder, when you acquire a company via a share deal, then the goodwill depreciation is normally not tax deductible. In the year 2018-19, we had a non-tax deductible goodwill amortization of 5.1 million Swiss franc. Adjusted for this impact and adjusted for some tax credit that we received for prior year, our group average tax rate was 22% in 2018-19, which is in the expected range. Moving to adjusted earnings per share. This is calculated as diluted earnings per share excluding goodwill amortization. Adjusted earnings per share for the year was minus 0.94 francs compared to 2.39 francs in the prior year. The main driver for this decline is the lower EBITDA. Okay, that's it for the P&L. And now we'll discuss some other metrics. For the full year, free cash flow was 2.5 million Swiss franc. This compares to a plus 1.4 million Swiss franc in the prior year. The reduction is mainly due to the reduced EBITDA and includes CapEx of approximately 1.1 million Swiss franc for mainly IT-related exceptional infrastructure costs. Our balance sheet remains strong with an equity ratio of 56.5%. And the nominal value of the outstanding liability from the convertible bond is 8.5 million. And since this amount is due beginning of November this year, we have reclassified this debt to short-term. We have currently various refinancing options and will communicate further details as soon as this is finalized. Okay, that's it from my side. Now let me hand over to Richard.
Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today I would like to give you an insight into further growth plans of Crilogics. As explained by Thomas, Crilogics is working on the profound transformation of the business model. This with the aim of being optimally prepared for further growth on a global scale in the coming years. Our business is an international business. That's why it's imperative that we look at the model for our future growth from this perspective. Let me now turn to the main levers of this transformation. For about 2 years now, we have been on our journey towards a global software and product house. Our aim is to take the leading role for digital banking platforms on an international level. But this requires a significant transformation of our company. This transformation to prepare for the future is not a straight line path. It requires advanced investments, which have an impact on profitability as well as on sales. This can be seen in this picture. It is a journey to higher peaks, where we first have to pass through a valley. This transformation includes three main elements. The first is the change of the license model. The second is the increase of scalability of the product platform. And the third is the new go-to-market approach. I will now explain each of these main elements of the transformation separately. First element, change of license model from traditional one-time licenses to multi-year rental licenses. Every modern and globally oriented software company is working on this transformation or has it already over, mostly if it is US-based. The reason is simple. A high software as a service ratio of the revenue means a sustainable anchoring of the business and therefore a higher valuation. Crilogics' growth in recurring revenue with multi-year rental licenses for digital banking products in the fiscal year 18-19 was very pleasing. We are at almost 15%. 2 years ago, we were under 5%. The change in the licensing model will have a clear negative impact on profitability in the short term. However, in the long term, it will lead to greater stability in revenues and a sustained increase in profitability. That is why we plan to increase the SaaS share continuously over the next few years to 30%. The second element, we will continue to invest heavily in our product platform in order to scale even better than today. The more modular we can offer our own digital banking products, the easier it will be to successfully cross and upsell within the existing client base, and also to offer the best fitting solutions for new clients. For example, it will be much easier to sell modules which have been developed for customers in the UK with little adaptation to customers in Asia. The better our products are aligned with our target software architecture, the easier it will be for us to implement cross-nationally sourced implementations, and the more efficiently we can use international implementation partners. And I will tell you more about that on the next slide. As you can see in this picture, our goal is to have a standardized production line, which enables a simple and modular assembly according to the individual needs of our customers. So we have a standardized production, which is combined with the individualized orchestration by our customers. This allows a maximum scalability, and at the same time, the highly individual digitization needs of our customers are met very efficiently. And finally, the third element, we will change our go-to-market approach. On the one hand, we will approach the markets in a segment-specific way in the future. This means that in customer acquisition, we will distinguish digital solutions for retail banks, wealth managers, and commercial banks. On the other hand, we will greatly expand our partner network. In order to accelerate the sales of our products on an international level, we must be able to scale our business better. For this reason, we will increasingly work with partners to implement international projects in order to be able to serve new customers at a higher rate. We also expect these local implementation partners to help us attract new customers, of course, in their very own interest. We have already started to build such a network of partners in recent years and will now be driving the expansion of this network with high priority. Thank you very much. I will now hand over to Thomas for the outlook.
Thank you, Richard. You saw in Richard's elaboration that our transformation is far-reaching and ambitious. We are simultaneously tackling the strategic adaptation of our licensing model, our product alignment, and the go-to-market approach. Our goal is to be the global number one provider of digital banking software, hence empowering our customers to offer an attractive, seamless, and secure personal financial ecosystem to their customers. An example from Asia proves that this realignment succeeds. For a leading retail bank, we are building a comprehensive SaaS offering using components from the entire Carelogics group. Implementation will be carried out entirely by our strategic partners. This approach allows us to concentrate on our core business, the development and sale of digital banking software products. This leads me to the outlook, where two aspects are key. Revenues are to be increased further. And second, Carelogics expects the transformation to have a positive impact in the midterm in form of solid cash flows and the double-digit EBITDA margins. Our transformation is compelling. From our broad customer base comes a clear demand for our range of relevant products. Our continued investment in our products and technologies puts us at the forefront. In recent years, we have set our business up for the next chapter. The transformation of our business model is the right way to go, and we are committedly pursuing it. Let me conclude our presentation with a quote from one of our customers. Hauck & Aufhäuser, and you can go through the quote, really is on our side when it comes to pursuing our digital path. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention. Please do not hesitate to ask us any questions you may have.
The first question comes from Remo Rosenau from Helvetische Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. You mentioned that the SaaS sales more than doubled. There is also hosting involved. I mean, could you also differentiate between SaaS and hosting, or is that not possible? I mean, both together were 14.7 million, right? Up from 5.9. That would be clearly more than doubled.
Well, we do not separate because hosting is done mostly for our clients. So they have the SaaS, the subscription for the software, and they add the hosting, which makes it the SaaS offering. So that is why we put this category together.
Okay. Then the licenses went down from 18.8 to 12.5 million. That is a decrease of 6.3 million, which is directly effective to the EBITDA, of course. Then you said that without the change in the licensing model to SaaS, you would have had an EBITDA which would have been 7 million higher. Is that, can we conclude out of that that without the change in the business model, the licenses would have been 19.5 million or something like that? Or is that the wrong kind of calculations?
No, that's correct.
Okay. Which, however, is not a very let's say, strong increase from 18.8, right? I mean, in the previous years, the growth in licenses was a bit more dynamic.
Well, firstly, we wanted to increase SaaS and not the initial license fees. That was our purpose, and there we were able really to increase. And that's the number of the 7 million is an estimation, so you cannot just compare it one-to-one, but we were concentrating on transforming our business plan.
Okay. And then you mentioned the UK, that there was also a disappointing development, mainly due to Brexit, and of course that banks did not invest a lot, which is understandable. But I mean, could you say something about the size of your business in the UK? I mean, what have been sales last year? What were they this year? Just to get kind of a perspective here.
Well, we don't disclose numbers of single units within our group, but it was a significant impact compared to prior years.
Okay. And would you judge that this is mainly a postponement until we know what is going to happen, or until they know what is going to happen, or might that result in a more longer term negative effect?
So from our judgment, this is more a postponement. We have seen that already 2 years ago, right, when the first wave of this hesitation came. The next year was good again. We had a good start into the year. Revenues and projects are coming up as we expected. But again, you know, we are cautious about the future development, and I guess the next coming months will show us where the journey goes.
Okay. Then you also mentioned that two tier one banks shifted their orders to the new business year. Do I recall that correctly?
Yes.
Yes. And one
was delaying their orders until June, right? So we did not have a full half year of service.
Okay. Okay. And did that order, however, did it materialize in the current business year?
We will tell you as soon as possible. We will read about that.
Okay. Okay. Good.
We are confident. We are confident.
Okay. Okay. Good. That's it for me for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions?
The next question comes from Richard Williamson with Edison. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to clarify one of the questions asked by the last analyst, which was the tier one banks, that opportunity. Has that gone away till the next business year or till the next calendar year? I understood calendar year rather than business year.
No, business year.
Business year. Okay. Thank you very much.
19.
Understood. And then in terms of the competitive environment, you are looking to sign deals in Asia, you are looking to sign deals in Europe, UK. Are you seeing similar competitors in the market? Are you seeing similar competitive dynamics in the different markets, or are the landscapes different?
So we see a similar good traction for digital banking in the markets, but the competition situation is different in the markets.
And can you say who your sort of principal competitors are sort of differently in the different markets? Or?
Well, we don't want to mention here specific competitors, but we have some competitors which have a similar setup than we have. We have some competitors which are the IT departments of the large banks. We have some competitors which are system integrators who want to develop bespoke software. So the situation changes, but we see more and more that banks, they want to buy platforms, they want to buy products and customize these platforms to their needs. and it's getting more and more complex. So they need a platform that they cannot build it themselves. So that's why we have a good traction and why we had this nice revenue growth in the last years.
And just to explore that a little bit further, and I understand your reticence to names of individual competitors, but in terms of when you win projects or when you lose projects, can you say, you know, is it largely about a price, you know, is it about pricing? Is it about the breadth of the product? Is it about the modularity of the product? You know, what are the sort of key factors that mean you win or lose a contract, or do you just not get that sort of granular visibility?
Well, there is hardly always the same reason when we win a contract or if we lose one. It depends on the circumstances. It's hardly ever the price. It's, as Richard just explained, the environment that internal IT prevails against external providers, for example, etc. So there might be different reasons in the different regions.
Wonderful. And the final question, if I may, you talked about a slight sort of change of strategy to focus on the different sectors, you know, to focus more explicitly on the different sectors. How is the sort of product offering or the product set going to differ, you know, between wealth management and retail banking? Is there anything further you can say about that?
Can you just, we had some audio issues. Can you repeat, please?
Yes, of course. I was just asking about your sort of your sectoral approach. So you're being much more explicit now about a different approach and dynamic for each of the different sectors. How does your sort of product set or how does your strategy change when you're sort of you're looking at wealth management versus retail banking? You know, the different sectors. You know, what impact is that strategy change going to have?
Yeah, so you have seen the presentation that we have this whole set of business bricks, which are then put together for each client to create the financial ecosystem needed for the customers of that bank. And so we put these bricks together in a different way for retail banks, for wealth managers, or for commercial or corporate banks. And so we come already with an offer which is adapted to the needs. And the go-to-market approach is, more importantly, is that we have the specialists who can talk the language of retail, wealth management, or commercial banking, and so that we understand better what they need, so that we can deliver them the best fitted offer. That's what we want to do in the go-to-market approach on a global level.
Wonderful. And final question, if I may. I just want to ask about the convertible bond. There was sort of, not many details forthcoming on the call. Are you in a position to say any more, or do we need to wait on that?
No, we have a solution. We need to finalize it, and then we communicate as soon as everything is set in stone.
You're well prepared for that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions?
The next question comes from Christian Wolf with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my question. Just you mentioned in the call that you have a one-time or one-off cost of about $1 million+. Can you just remind me on that one?
I don't remember that I said anything about the 1 million. A capex.
Yeah.
I said 1.1 million capex. Yeah, here in Switzerland, we had to upgrade our IT infrastructure mainly, right? We also, maybe you remember when you visited us, you visited a different building, right? We also had a little move. Our capex includes a 1.1 million one-time expense, mainly IT related here in Switzerland.
Okay, thank you so much. And second one might be the attack you had on your IT system. Is there anything you can tell us about the amount which might it cost? Have you any clearance on that one?
There was no material impact, so we don't have any additional information to give here. So we were well prepared. We reacted quickly, and we were up and running as business as usual.
Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you. Any other question?
The next question is a follow-up from Remo Rosenau with Helvetische Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. On the midterm targets, you mentioned double-digit EBITDA margins as a target in the midterm. double-digit can mean anything from 10 to 99%. So in the past, you already mentioned once in a while that you basically think that you should be able to reach 15% at some stage. I mean, what is your take on that now? To be potentially a bit more precise, what you think you could achieve?
Well, I think our midterm targets have not changed to what we communicated also in previous statements, and the figures the figure you mentioned should be about right. Again, our aim is to modularize our offering and to be able to scale, and with this we should be able to reach these EBITDA numbers, as we said, midterm.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
There are no further questions at this time.
So then, thank you very much for your attention. And have a wonderful Tuesday. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much.